save faster, borrow smarter, move sooner with CME. Earn 6.5% APY with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus savings account. And when you're ready to buy, enjoy a low 5.1% mortgage rate. Plus, CME pays $750 toward closing costs. Start your path to homeownership today with CME Federal Credit Union. Subject to membership eligibility and approval, APY means annual percentage yield, APR means annual percentage rate. Terms apply. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Visit CMEFCU.org for details.
Over two centuries ago, it was England that taxed our tea. Now it's Brussels trying to regulate our companies. Under new European regulations, American businesses face crushing fines, forced disclosures, and foreign red tape that kills jobs here at home. America's laws should be written in America, not Brussels. Reject European regulatory overreach and uphold Trump's trade deal. Paid for by Americans for Limited Government.
Ever wonder what's really behind the headlines? Or why certain theories just won't go away? Dive into the world of The No Name Podcast, your go-to podcast for unraveling the mysteries of conspiracies, politics, and everyday life. Each week, we blend our opinions, analysis, with some storytelling to uncover the hidden layers of our world. From the latest political intrigue to the most fascinating conspiracy theories, we bring you a balanced dose of skepticism and insight. Whether you're a seasoned critical thinker or just curious about the whispers that swirl around us, we offer a space where your questions are welcome, and your mind can wander freely. Tune in, spark your curiosity, and let's embark on this journey of discovery together. The No Name Podcast, where every episode is a new chance to think critically and see the world through a different lens. Don't miss out. Subscribe today and join the conversation.
Happy Monday morning. This is Jeremy.
What's up, everybody? It's Dustin.
It's your boy, Trey.
We're coming to you from the No Name Podcast, and we are happy to actually do something that we scheduled, which was a sweet COVID episode. After, what is it, 4 years now?
Oh, where's my mask?
In case you were forgetting about COVID, yeah, it's still a thing, believe it or not. So,
yeah.
It is, it's still around. It is still a thing. And, so pretty interesting the way it all rolled out, though, I will say that. And that's kind of where we're coming from a little bit, is some of the shenanigans that surround it. So, I guess
the good old doctor.
Oh man,
he's the real F word in my house. It's like, what the Fauci? You know what I'm saying?
Where is he, by the way?
Retired.
He retired.
Oh, he retired now.
Called in front of the Congress. You know, their little fake court or whatever they do out there. I think it was the Congress, or was it House?
It was the Senate.
Senate. Yeah. Okay. So, but of course, nothing ever comes from that. So. You know,
because you always can justify yourself in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess something to start with is not where were you when COVID happened, but I guess in the first, I don't know, let's call it month, how did it kind of affect you guys?
I mean, at first, I think we were on a cruise. Were we on a cruise with you whenever we started hearing about coronavirus or whatever? They were talking about there was a ship that was out. That was stuck out in the ocean or whatever. They weren't going to come back in because of the coronavirus. And we were hearing about it on our cruise ship, but we didn't think of it. I was making jokes of it. You know, I thought it was just like a virus, like a stomach virus or whatever. And so then whenever we got back to the States and everything, and we started hearing more about it, I was like, oh, wow, I guess this is serious. This is something serious. And then everything started getting shut down. And I was like, oh, man, am I going to be out of work? Like, but no, I was essential. And so I had to keep working.
Gotta love that title.
But I noticed that, you know, there's a lot less traffic. You know, the groceries in the grocery store were just dwindling away. And so I was like, I mean, it was like the end of the world. I mean, it was like everything was so strange. I went into to Publix to get us some milk. And I remember my sister-in-law had called me and was like, can you grab me a gallon of milk while you're there? And so I had like 3 gallons of milk in my cart. Because my little boy at the time, you know, he drank milk like water.
Yeah.
And I remember the lady at the counter telling me I could only have 1 gallon.
Now, how far into COVID was that?
This was like, I want to say, after we had gotten back, this was a couple weeks in.
Oh, okay. Within March or what? Yeah. April? When did you take the cruise? You can't even remember?
Because
it would have been in February.
Yeah, because this was whenever it hadn't really hit the States yet. Like, it was...
Okay.
People were dying on that ship, not the one I was on, but the one they were talking about on the news. People were dying, and they didn't want to know if they didn't know if they wanted to let them back in or not. Like, it was a thing. But I remember getting home from work and stuff. My wife making me strip down and throw my clothes straight in the washing machine, go take a shower. It was like she was going to just start scrubbing me with a broom and scrub me on the porch, sanitizing me before I came in the house.
But, you know, sadly enough, if you had gotten buck naked in your front yard while your wife was scrubbing you down, that would have been considered normal at the time.
I know. Right. And, you know, I thought it was so strange, too, how people were misinformed even that early on, because they were saying everybody needs to wear a mask, need to wear a mask, need to wear a mask. But I would go to my customers' homes, and they would want me to wear a mask, but they wouldn't wear a mask. And I'm going, so you want me to wear a mask, come into your home, but you're not going to wear a mask while I'm in your home. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
Yeah. That's crazy.
That was one of the first things I remember.
So how about you, Trey?
I was in DR. I was literally in DR having a good time. All-inclusive resort. Eating good. Drinking good. And then we was hearing about, you know, it's crazy in the States. And this is like March. I remember it was like March the 19th, March the 20th, or March the 14th. I remember the people in DR was like, oh, y'all can stay here if y'all want to. Because it pretty much is supposed to be really bad in America. It's like, oh, it can't be that bad. Like, it's nothing is ever that bad. And we got off the plane. And I knew something was up when we got off the plane, and the customs line was not long. Like, okay, cool. That, you know, we came in at the right time. But then when you come up, you can see the whole airport, and it was empty. And I was it feels like the zombie apocalypse. And I drove home. At the time, I was living in Grayson, and it was no traffic. I said, yeah, something's up. So we went to a grocery
store. You said it was the beginning of March, and I'm trying to remember my timeline. What, like, how far into, because they came out, they announced.
This is the first day they shut it down.
Okay, because they came out, they announced COVID is a thing, and you need to stay at home. They shut the schools down the next day, like, everything.
Well,
so when you got back, was that the day of the shutdown, the day after?
Remember, I remember, because obviously where I work, we was tracking it, and then we knew it kind of got to Washington, but it was it's going to stay over there. And then as it progressed, we started seeing a little bit, you know, I'm gonna be honest, black folks at this particular time, you gotta remember, only white people were getting it.
Yeah.
So we was kind of like, oh, shoot,
we good.
This is God's wrath towards all the stuff they don't did to us. And I had friends who were like, this is a white person's disease. And see, this is why they gotta repent and they gotta say what they did wrong. And I was like, I mean, I don't think diseases work like that, but then to your point, no, at this time, no black people had gotten this. I was like, maybe, I don't know.
Turns out we're all human.
Right.
Who knew?
So we went to DR and had a great time, came back, and that's when we knew everything was good. But then when I checked my work email, it was like, hey, come by the office and grab your stuff and then just go home. And that's why I've been working from home ever since. But I would never walk into the store and this guy, old white guy, is like, what is this? I don't know what this is. Stupid. This is overreaction. And in my mind, I was like, it could be, but like, you know, I'm one of these people like, let's err on the side of caution. Because then if it was, because I've seen movies like Outbreak and Contagion scare me.
Yeah.
Because those movies, and I tell people, like for other countries, those movies are real life. Like the Ebola outbreak that killed over 100 million Africans, that was real for some people.
Right.
We don't. Luckily, we're afforded the opportunity of our healthcare system and departments, so like CDC and FDA and NIH, they are really good departments, and they really do have some really solid scientists. I tell people, like, y'all don't understand how angry and mad they were that people were not listening to any guidance at one point we got into COVID life. And I get it, we got over it, but I tell people, the day that we have an outbreak like that where you're bleeding from the eyes and you coughing blood all the time,
mm-hmm.
I said we've been so jaded that I don't think people were like, just cough blood on me, I don't care. And I'm like,
I don't think so.
I'm going to tell you, if somebody coughs blood on me, I'm going to be like,
you're dead, by the way. Whatever it is that they coughed on you, you're dead.
I'm prayed up and everything, but I don't trust that.
Right. This ain't what the sermon was today, right? Like, just believe.
Right.
I believe that you're going to die.
Yeah.
Where were you, Jeremy?
So I was just working like usual, you know, and so we're sitting at home, you know, news flash comes across the thing, we're watching that, and it's like, yep, tomorrow everything's shut down. I was like, oh, crap, I'm like, this is what I've been waiting for.
Right.
Honestly, like, you know, because you know me, I'm a bit of a prepper, per se, you know, I'm like, all right, Super Bowl, you know?
Right.
But, you know, I'm like, okay, so first thing I did was I'm going to go be part of the Clear the Shelves movement.
Yeah.
So I immediately started hitting every grocery store closest to my house, and I would pull up, I'd walk in, and there's just like what looked to me like Black Friday at a grocery store.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I started going further and further and further out until I think I ended up in like Athens or something. Yeah. I don't even know. And I got my two carts full of groceries because there was no limits at that point.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, and I already had like, you know, food prep and everything, but I'm like, hey, if I can hit this thing one last time, say, you know, so I can have extra just to, you know, make sure we good, you know. So I went down and got two carts full of groceries, you know, stood in line, got everything bought, and did not know that there was going to later, like, you know, 2 days later be a toilet paper situation.
Yeah, that was weird.
So that was like the one thing that I missed out on.
Yeah.
And it was like not even trying to, you know, hoard, just try to survive, you know? So that was kind of funny. But, you know, my wife makes a little bit of fun of me because she says, well, this is kind of what you've been waiting for, right? And I was like, you know, kind of. I didn't think I'd still have to go to work because, like, you guys, I was essential, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know who wasn't essential. Everybody I talked to was pretty essential. So,
right. Yeah.
It was kind of a weird title. But I took it serious for the 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't mask up when I didn't have to.
Right.
Because I was like, yeah, I don't know what this is, but I'm not wearing this thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't poo-poo anything. I listened to everything Dr. Fauci was saying, that Trump was saying, everybody down the line. I'm like, okay, they must be better schooled at this than I am. Everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm listening. We're following the situation. I think Easter came up. We canceled our Easter plans. We, you know, the family came over and we waved at them from the car. You know, it was all like we were following everything for the first couple weeks.
And what happened? So what made you not want to follow it? I guess have a distaste for Dr. Fauci.
Because after 2 weeks,
uh-huh.
we were told it was supposed to flatten the curve and all this, you know, mumbo jumbo, right? You remember,
yeah.
I'm sure. It started to feel as time went on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually getting real world, seeing everything that was happening, all the things. It, to me, started not to add up.
Okay.
It was almost like...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
9/11.
Okay.
If anybody listened to our 9/11 episode, you know, you start out with, oh my gosh. And then as you kind of sit back and reflect on it a little bit and you start to see some of the facts come in and you rewatch some of the other stuff, you're like, wait a second, this doesn't really align with what they were saying.
Right.
And that's kind of what happened to me. And of course, you know, at that point, I didn't really trust much anyway, but I've never been part of a global pandemic either.
Right. Well, but yeah, not
AKA yet. Plandemic.
Yep.
As some might call it. But so we kind of started, I'm not going to say we went against everything. We were still cautious because even during flu season, we're not all up on, you know, people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've always been a social distancer before that was even called social distancing. So that was easy for me.
Right.
I just really enjoyed the memes. I enjoyed a lot of that stuff, you know, like watching the people with the donuts, you know, going out in public,
right.
6 feet.
Like down. Bubble Boy.
Oh right. My gosh. It was just like a lot of that stuff, but it was just kind of sad to see a lot of that stuff. To me, I don't mean to make light of it, but it was kind of like a treasure hunt for me. I was trying to make the best of a situation. My kids were, they weren't really scared,
yeah,
per se, because we didn't, I mean, they were concerned at first because we were concerned. And then after, I mean, they're kids, they're smart,
right,
on some level, you know, like not as intellectually developed at that point, but they can see and what's in front of them.
Right.
You know, digital learning for us, you guys probably didn't have to deal with that at the time, but for us was the most terrible experience ever.
Right.
And if it wasn't for that, we probably would have started homeschooling sooner,
mm-hmm,
because, you know, we had to talk our way back into doing quote unquote homeschool.
Right.
To remember it's not digital learning.
Right, 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 right.
Because that was terrible, because at the time we had a kindergarten, first grade, and third grade. And this is the first time that like two of them have touched a computer. And you're talking about a 5 and 6 year old on a computer trying to do school. It's terrible. I mean, just absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine mine wouldn't work at all. Yeah,
terrible. I mean, literally, I would, before I had to essentially get to work in the morning, I had to get all their stuff set up and make sure that, you know, I could get it to the best of my ability without any of their classes being started at the time, because they were still doing school, normal school hours. So they're doing full days worth of school where they have to go into these meetings. And I think I talked to you guys about it before, about Google Classroom. You know, this was the first time we had a experience with Google Classroom, and even the school system, you know, they're trying it out. They're on like a trial or something like that. So everybody is trying to get all this stuff done. It was just the whole thing. I don't know. I felt like it was too much for us to deal with from that aspect. But as far as COVID goes, you know, I don't think we got COVID probably until the following year, officially. We may have had it back in December, January, and didn't know that it was COVID at the time.
Right.
I think it was either me or my wife that was sick, and looking back at it at the time, I was like, yeah, that was probably
COVID.
Yeah. Probably COVID.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how ours was. I think that I had COVID before I actually officially had COVID, when I got diagnosed with COVID one time before, and I was pretty sick then. Me and my wife both were. But then, so if it started in, remember what, February, March?
Yep.
And then I didn't officially get diagnosed with COVID until November. It was right after Thanksgiving. We were having leftovers, and I remember sitting there, and I was eating my leftover Thanksgiving, and I was like, seems kind of bland. Does yours seem bland? She goes, no, not at all. I was like, and I had cooked my turkey. I had smoked my turkey.
Oh, yeah. That's going to have all flavor.
Flavor, and there was none. And I was like, I'm going to put this to the test. So I went, and I got me a beer out of the refrigerator. Can't turn it up. Couldn't even taste the beer at all. I was like, yep, can't taste it. Probably got COVID.
Oh, no.
But they ended up going to go and getting tested, and they said, yeah, you got COVID. But I remember when I got sick, I just had the worst sore throat I'd ever had in my life. It was worse than any strep I'd ever had. Really bad cough, but I don't remember ever running a fever. There were a couple times where I felt bad, but mine was mostly just a really bad sore throat.
By the time I got COVID, the whole 2 weeks out of work where you were getting paid to not be at work, yeah, all that was done. I never even got the benefit,
yeah,
of getting 2 weeks out of work. Like, none of it. Yeah. I was like, come on. I had to work the whole time, and not even from home. I'm driving to the office every day. And by the time I finally get COVID, you're back to, you know, back to work in 5 days. Yep. I'm like, come on,
man. Regular sick days.
Yeah. But I remember my friend getting COVID, and he got really, really sick. He was coughing up blood and a lot of other stuff. And then, you know, one of my cousins, he's had COVID, I think, like 2 or 3 times, and he's been hospitalized twice. One time he almost died because he didn't listen to him, though. And that one, he decided to get on a plane and try and fly back home from, I think, Nevada back to Georgia, because he didn't want to go to the hospital out there. He wanted to come back home to the hospital, and he couldn't drive and make it here in time. So against the doctor's orders or recommendations, he decided to try and fly, which screwed his lungs up really bad, and so he almost died. But I mean, what freaked me out about COVID is, I agree with Jeremy, for probably the first few weeks, maybe the first month, I was taking it really, really serious. And granted, I've never said COVID wasn't real. I believe it's real.
Oh, it's
real. I know a lot of people died. I know a lot of people lost their family members and from it and everything. And my heart goes out to all those people. So that's not what I'm saying. But I took it serious the first few weeks, the first month or so. And then when I started seeing how it was affecting certain people as opposed to other people, you know, it basically destroyed elderly people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And people who were already sick, had underlying issues and everything. But people who were quote unquote healthy, like me, Jeremy, or whoever,
I'm healthy too.
Like you. No. Okay.
We weren't hanging out at the time. Yeah.
Right. No, I'm scared.
But I'm saying people like that, it would affect us like a worse flu.
Yeah.
An extreme level of the flu. And we would be sick and we'd get better. But I think where I really started getting red flags thrown up and where I really started questioning everything was when I heard about Event 201. I don't know if you know what Event 201
is. No, give it to me.
You know Event 201.
I don't know.
All right.
You don't know?
So Event 201 was, this was before COVID actually happened. The powers to be, so to speak, in other countries in our country, the upper level powers that be, get together at an event called Event 201. It's basically like a tabletop game almost. And they're going to put out this scenario of what would happen if.
Oh, I did hear a little bit about this.
What would happen if this scenario right here played out? It starts with bats to pigs to humans or whatever, and it's a disease or a sickness, and it started out the exact same way COVID did. All right, and then what would happen if it spread to here, to here, to here? How would we contain it? How many people would die before we could actually contain it? This was a tabletop game that they played, hypothetical scenario, and then behold, about a year later, it actually happens. In the real world.
Who's part of this meeting?
So, like I said, it's the powers that be of every country, of the upper echelon countries.
Like presidents, dictators?
I don't know. I'm not going to say it's presidents or dictators because I don't know that for a fact. All I know is it's representatives from other countries and America included. They all got together and they did it.
So there are meetings.
I mean, you can Google Event 201.
Yeah, it will pop up. I remember the meeting, and I know they have information meetings like this all the time. By the way, I'm gonna tell y'all this. They have a plan, only because we're such a global community, and I tell people, like, as much as we want to think that we're not interconnected, we are very much connected. So to Dustin's point, I do remember hearing in early stages about them being a meeting and them talk. Well, not early stages, but like later, you know, when everything kind of everybody was like, we had meetings where they were able to. Had this conversation about a disease, and now of course I'm pretty sure y'all heard about Bill Gates doing the same thing. And what I was kind of more so throughout the process of COVID looking at is when I came back, I was kind of like laughing at the whole thing because I just came from DR, so I'm kind of like suntan, I'm feeling good, and I didn't have the toilet paper. I have a thing about toilet paper being in the house anyway,
mm-hmm.
So I have enough toilet paper in my house at all times to last me like 2 years. So. I just
say a bidet came out of this at my house, so that was
so. My wife was D was like, I probably need to add that next to the list, but D was
kids'
like,
water fountains, what we call it.
It's one of the best purchases I've ever made.
Disgusting, but good and disgusting. Good for your tush, yeah. Not for kids' mouths.
Yeah, no.
I mean, maybe it's good for that. Okay, but and so we was fine. We just had to get groceries because we didn't, like, you know, we was going out of town. No point in buying groceries, and we don't eat a lot. And we eat for, like, kind of healthy, so. What people didn't realize was the fruits and vegetables did not get off the shelf. I was like, we don't eat that stuff. We don't eat regular milk. So we didn't have almond milk, but I was like, I don't necessarily need almond milk. Let's try this new goat milk or what, I think whatever it was we were trying at the time. And I was like, I don't care personally. And then my wife even figured out how to make her own milk out of nuts. So I was like, okay, cool. We're one of those families that didn't get hit like that.
Yeah.
That being said, I adhere to all the guidelines, obviously, because it was just, I'm just one of those people like, okay, I never wore a mask because I was scared to get COVID. I'm one of those people where I'm like, if I get the flu, I get the flu. I figure out how to beat it. If I can't beat it, then be at my family funeral and say I tried. Like I'm going to do.
Oh, you sound like me all of a sudden.
No. Not doing that, Jerry. Because if I had to get anthrax in my family, I would let the government watch me all day. but it's more so of, I knew this. I started looking at those demographics. It's killing old people. And my grandparents mean the world to me. My granddad was the best man at my wedding. So, like, if I have to protect him, I'm going to do whatever I need to do. If I have to wear a mask, gloves, whole hazmat suit, I'm going to do it. And then I started looking at it, it's like, because I didn't get it. I got, I, like you said, I think I had it one time, but I just couldn't tell because it felt like a regular sinus infection to me. And I'm already kind of like always get a sinus infection. So I was like, whatever. I shut my body down. I went to sleep. 4 days later, I felt better. Or 3 days later, I felt better because the fourth day, I'm getting up to bed. And And then when I'm thinking about it, I just really never wanted to wear a mask, period, because I'm not a superhero. So I did it only around for people who feel uncomfortable. I try to be respectful of others in stores, and you know, they say have to wear a mask. I'm like, golly, I forgot it. Go back to the car, put it on just to protect others. And I knew something, science was off on this, because I got to remember, it was so, and I guess we can get to the origin, what we think the origin came from after this. Like, that would be a great place to go. But what I remember thinking is no way you can get right now data accurately. You can't get, like, the only thing they could possibly project is anybody with a pre-existing condition. So you have diabetes, you have cancer, you have whatever, you're already battling something.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
If you got COVID, and I'm talking about the first one, the real COVID, not the betas that came after, isn't it? The other ones, our body was beaten. But that first one, I think with the OG one, was the one that was made from a factory. That one, if you had heart problems already, you're going to die. If you had something already, you was going to die. You know what I mean? Like, it was that strong. And I tend to look at it as early on information, like that first couple of weeks I was hearing Fauci talking, like, he doesn't have a clue, because it's not that he's not a smart guy. I think he's brilliant. But I think you're asking him to do something that nobody else in the, first of all, he wasn't the leader. He was like a high up scientist in NIH. He wasn't the director of NIH. He wasn't like the director of CDC. Those people are smart, but they're not the lead people in those particular areas. And people don't realize that. So, like, for instance, Jeremy, you are a brilliant guy in IT, but I'm guaranteeing you can probably say, if I go to this IT conference, that's the guy. That's the person we all look at him like, in our field, he's the Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But he's normally not the CEO. Like, for instance, Michael Jordan played for the Bulls, but he wasn't the GM or the president or the team. He didn't own the team either.
Yeah.
He was just one of the best players. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I looked at Fauci as like, he's going to give us the data that he's getting now, which is going to be totally off. Because as soon as you get that data in, it's going to change again. As soon as, and if you're telling, and so you, and because you don't know, you got to tell people to do the most extreme thing because you have no idea. For instance, like the situation Gabby would just tell us about the internet. To me, because he want to do it, this most extreme thing is, watch this, all of us are out of it.
Yeah.
Why? Because you know what? If you don't want to obey, then this is what we have to do to make sure we cattle in, you know, the crowd a little bit. And I think a lot of people weren't taking it serious in the beginning. You know, I know strip clubs went booming in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, they were booming.
I think they were essential. I mean, I'm pretty sure, didn't they call them essential?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just think that, like, people are like, so a lot of red states did not shut down.
I didn't think so, just for the record, but I'm just saying, like, no, I'm pretty sure that was one of the.
Booty is not, I mean, for, I guess for some people it may be essential, but they weren't classified.
They came out with a list of essential businesses. Wasn't that one of them?
No way strip clubs made that list.
I heard Fauci was there handing out masks.
Making it rain. Yeah,
that would be amazing. I would love to see Fauci in a strip club.
Just kidding.
But yeah, I don't try to. Well, me, I know a lot of people don't like Fauci, but I kind of tell people like all the time, like, bro, he was given an impossible task. Like, he was going to be, like, everything needs a face in our generation, right? So, like, who's going to be the scapegoat? Who are we going to blame? And unfortunately, I have no idea how he was selected. And I guess he was like, oh, you know, I mean, think about it. If your president comes to you and says, hey, you're the most smartest person when it comes down to respiratory diseases, do you mind kind of explaining this to the people? And he probably thinking of like, oh, yeah, I can explain to you the science of it. But then you get up there and they're asking, when do you think it's going to end? Maybe if we just do these things, they can end. We can flatten out the curve. You don't know. That's why it's science.
Well, for me, it kind of felt like, I still think that it's a trial run for something. Whether it's a trial run for
bigger and better.
Getting a trial run for disease, getting a trial run for control. I don't know. It felt a little bit like a dry run, personally.
No, for sure. I can't knock that.
When it all came down, I mean, not at the time.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't think I started feeling that way till probably maybe 6 months in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't immediate. 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, I'm starting
to question. What changed? What made you feel like that then?
What, after like 6 months?
Yeah, 6 months. Like all of a sudden, like when you start looking at the writing on the wall and saying, we're getting bamboozled here a little bit, or we're getting, lab mice.
Yeah. I think part of that was the, there was just so much regulation mm-hmm. that started to come out of the woodwork. And, you know, a lot of that stuff didn't hit immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just different things. It just started to feel a little bit more than we're trying to look out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first, the government was like, oh, we're here for you. We want to give you the nice hug. You know, we're... You guys are, you know, our most important assets. We want to make sure you're okay. You know, that's kind of how it felt like. We were just getting a big government hug at first. And mm-hmm. it kind of felt more like they were started squeezing your neck,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit by a little bit, more and more. Because it's been 4 years, I'm trying to remember the details in my brain. And I probably should have come better prepared. But... It just, I don't know exactly what happened, but there was something probably about 6-7 months in where I was like, okay, enough's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started feeling like I bucked the system a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't out of trying to get people sick, because that was never my intention.
Right.
I never wanted anybody to get sick. Again, COVID was real.
Right.
People were sick. People were dying.
Yeah.
Okay. Like right. this is real. But all the precautions and everything that they wanted us to take were for you.
Mm-hmm.
They were not my precautions to take to help you.
Yeah.
They were your precautions to take to help yourself. And more that they tried to put, it felt like they were putting it on me to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. When you look at everything, those are precautions for me to take to protect me.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like
me wearing a mask. If you like he just like,
he yeah, said, like he was talking about with this customer.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, is it,
that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So
it should be everybody in the room got to wear a mask. Then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying like if I'm an essential employee and I have to go out to a customer's home to perform a service that they're paying for because they want me to come to their home and do that, you're requesting that I come into your home and you're requesting that I wear a mask. Well, I also need to be protected. If that's the case,
right.
You should wear a mask. I feel like in that circumstance, yeah, all parties should have to wear a mask. But like what he's saying, it became more and more of a, not an option at some point in certain places. It was a requirement for everybody and this and that. And I don't know. I agree with Jeremy on, I took it very serious early on in the beginning, and then because of the kind of person I am, where I start to try and put puzzle pieces together and try to make sense of everything, when I start hearing this other information of like Event 201 and of Wuhan and the origins and that doctor coming out with his video and he telling everybody this and warning everybody this and everything, and then everything starts to click with me going, this right here is closer to me like 9/11 than, you know, in certain ways.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
no, go ahead.
To me, it's like they were in on this.
Right. Okay. So I agree with y'all. Like. First of all, it was real. I lost people. I know people who lost people. And so I think I want to make sure we say this. And I think we were beating that dead horse a little bit, but we want to make sure to be sensitive to those folks. I pay attention to world news a lot to see. I'm not necessarily worried about us dummies, America. We're gonna civil war. Or we're gonna figure it out. But I'm also worried about our what's happening in other people's country. I am the nosy neighbor. I'm probably look out my house window like 20 times a day just to see what's popping in the neighborhood. And what people fail to forget, and I don't understand how people fail to forget, something significant was happening in Hong Kong right before this.
Yeah.
In Hong Kong, they were protesting because they wanted more freedoms and access to the internet. And my age range for program, they had over 2 million people in Hong Kong in the streets for 4 or 5 weeks straight or something, 21 days or something like that.
They're not allowed to do that, are they?
They were not.
Right.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So the reason it was so difficult for the Chinese, go back and look. I am not making this up. You can look this up. They were protesting and they was trying to do the face recognition because, you know, they do the face recognition on these people. But they put masks on so all they could see is their eyes. And they couldn't see anything, and then also it was just like a perfect storm for this, and then they couldn't get these people to go back, like to stop doing this, and then they had Chinese New Year, so you get more people, American Chinese folks who's coming to join these protests because they agreed that they should have more liberties and more freedoms because they want access to the internet. They the things they wanted was they didn't want, they had some kind of weird curfew, which I didn't realize. And then they had some, they can't look up the word democracy,
yeah,
republic and stuff like that, freedom. They can't look at those words. And they know that because you can, internet-wise, you can get it. So they was protesting for that. You know what they got out of that? Happy New Year. Chinese New Year ends. We got COVID.
Yeah.
I believe intentionally that the Chinese government potentially may have allowed the Wuhan COVID to come out because they do test on disease and they share that information to stop the protest. It has not happened since then.
Well, I mean, I'm starting to align here with you on that too, but I believe that they were part of that event 201 where they were there. Someone from China was there in this and they saw this and they were like, we can use that. We can use that.
There was a South Park for this.
We can use that.
Years ago.
Of course there's a South
Park. Years ago.
I'm going to get him a t-shirt.
Watch this.
Did you see the one where they were out protesting something in South Park? And I don't remember who it was, but they gave them these blankets that had SARS on it.
Yeah.
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 Literally. It's literally what you're talking about.
Yeah. I didn't know that South Park episode, but if you go back and look at that 2 months before, it killed that demonstration. They never did it again.
Oh, right? I bet.
Because everybody was getting sick and dying. And that's why I say the first virus was the real one.
Yeah.
I think America went into scare mode a little bit with it. I don't mind regulations. Like I said, because I'm looking at contained outbreak, those movies, and like it, if I'm bleeding from the eye, if you start bleeding from the eye right now in here, first of all, I'm calling my buddies.
If you start bleeding from the eye,
stigmata.
I'm going to be honest. You want to get some surveillance from me, Jerry?
I'm getting up and I'm leaving. I'm sorry. I'll it call 911 on my way out.
No. It's too late for us. I'm calling my buddies and they're going to test us out of this place, okay? But Jeremy is on full-on quarantine.
But I agree with you, though. I think the first COVID was the real deal thing where it was... I mean, it was serious, but I do believe it was intentionally leaked.
No, I am.
It was intentionally leaked out, but 100%. I think all these other ones that happened after that, because they said that, you know, with COVID, transforms or mutates?
Mutates.
It mutates. And so I think it took them a while to figure out how to contain it, control it, whatever. But I do believe there was someone there from China at the event 201, and they were like, okay, we're going to use this because nobody's ever had to battle this one yet. We know how to form it. We know how to make it. We're going to release it, and nobody's going to be able to stop it.
I think,
to their disadvantage, they didn't know how to stop it either, and they couldn't keep it.
I don't think you care if you're trying to.
No, they didn't care.
If you're trying to kill two, think about it. Imagine, okay, look, when people protest for George Floyd, it was across the nation, but like in a city in Minnesota, you probably had a couple of 100,000 folks, maybe. I mean, 100,000 is your max,
right?
All right. I don't think it was that many people out there, probably like 20,000-ish. You have 2 million people on minimum on the streets. You're not, your police are not doing anything with that.
Yeah, right. That's crazy.
But I've actually brought this scenario up to somebody else before, and they were like, well, if that's true, why would China sacrifice its own people? Because China doesn't care about their people.
Look, like we've talked about before, 2 million people to over a billion is a drop in the bucket.
Well, they've been doing population control for a long time. Yeah. They do that.
No big deal to them.
Kids already.
Yeah,
families only allowed to have one or two kids?
One. It was one at a time.
One.
They you can go back have to
one
it
boy,
if they need
one girl.
No, they understand what the see. Okay, first of all, the person who asked you that question, next time they ask you a dumb question like that, you got to slap them in the face, because it's no way they gonna sit there. Why we're trying to do that on people like they just some kind of republic or democracy based country? Like, are you stupid? Like, they have concentration camps still, reform camps. And then the second thing is to your point, for China is one of the, they're very smart. Like, I can't not knock their strategy.
Oh, yeah,
this.
I think they're the,
like, they're the playing, smartest. They're playing chess, and we're playing steel. We're trying to still figure out how to play tic-tac-toe almost.
Yeah.
And
when you said it a minute ago, I don't mean to cut you off, but when you said it a minute ago about how China had the curfew, that was one of the things that really pissed me off in the United States.
Yeah.
Was when they told us that we need to be home by, was it like 9 o'clock or something? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what?
What?
COVID comes out at 9:01.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they were literally, if you did not have some sort of document saying that you were an essential worker and you got pulled over.
Really?
After 9 o'clock, or it was 9 or 10 o'clock, then they would cite you with something. I don't even
remember.
Was
that by county or by state?
by state.
I don't remember that.
Mm. I think it may have been federal. I don't even remember. But that was one of the things that I'm like, whoa.
I don't remember.
I'm like, how are you telling me COVID only comes out after 9? Like, yeah. You know, what is the point? And that was one of the biggest things that kind of made me go, okay.
Too much.
I feel like we're trying to control now.
Yeah.
Because if I just want to get in my car and clear my head at 11 o'clock at night, you know, things are going crazy at the house or whatever. It's like, all right, I just need some time by myself. And I can't just drive around in a car by myself without getting pulled over and ticketed or jailed or whatever. You know, that what the hell?
I didn't agree with them either, trying to say that you couldn't spend holidays with your family either.
Yeah.
Because to me, you can recommend it.
Exactly.
You can recommend that we don't, but that should be our choice if we're going to.
I thought it was. See, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it was. But yeah. they hinted around and tried to make it.
Well, I mean, places like Minnesota,
where you could.
You would have, if you, because of their governor, if you had anybody at your house or you left your house or whatever, you know, they had a hotline set up so you could call.
Yeah, you can report out your neighbor.
Yeah. Call and report.
Well, that's your neighbor's fault.
90 days in jail.
That's your governor's fault.
I'm saying I don't remember the curfew thing, and that's because I probably just like to stay at home anyway, so I didn't care.
I probably stayed at home too, but just the thought
of
you can't do that, and I'm like, whoa.
Because I'm trying to get, I'm like, that doesn't, like, that's like, at first, they tried to make my high school a uniform school. And I would never forget that, like, day one, nobody wear a uniform, and the principals and the administrators like, we're not gonna win that battle here, and they left it alone. Like, but it was mandatory that you wear a uniform, and nobody, for the most part, nobody wear a uniform. It depends on my hope is this. You gotta tell me what y'all think. Maybe I'm a little bit, you know, I know I'm more of a lefty. Is if a disease is dangerous enough and we can tell, and when, let's say we entered the same premise as COVID, are you more willing now to be like, are you so like distrusting of the government that you have to see it for yourself? Or you're saying like, yeah, some of these restrictions may be needed. Now post-COVID, how do you feel?
Post-COVID. I'm more distrusting now than I've ever been.
Okay.
Yeah, and that it did it to me. COVID made me more distrusting than I've ever been because of the jab that they were trying to force people to get. And again, you get the vaccine for yourself,
right?
Not for other people. And that was terrible information that they were trying to force down people's throat.
Right.
Was you have to get this vaccine to save everybody else. No, they need to get the vaccine to save themselves.
Right.
If they believe that's what will save them.
Right.
Me getting a vaccine does not save anybody else.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you have a vaccine, you can still carry that those germs with you, whatever they call it. You know, I'm not schooled in this, but you can still. Yeah, you could still carry, like, if you're around somebody, you can still carry that sickness with you and still spread it, even though you have the vaccine. The vaccine is not to save other people, it's to save yourself.
Right.
So why was that ever mandated? And that was further down, obviously. That was, you know, probably a year in, I think, was when they started doing that. But before that, there was still doctor's offices. There was businesses that on their own were saying, hey, if you want to come to our practice, you have to be vaccinated. If you want to come to this concert, you have to be vaccinated. If you want to, you know, I did not buy into any of that. I did not support anybody that was requiring a vaccine at that time. I'm like, you require that. I am not required to go to you. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of started building more and more distrust from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, you know, the president comes out and says, hey, this is going to be a federal mandate. Like,
but because we got a twofold presidency in COVID.
I wasn't going to name any names.
No,
but
which Biden or Trump?
Biden was the one that tried to do the federal mandate for it. That's when we lost so many people out of the military because a lot of them refused to get a vaccine and they were, what do you call it? Discharged or
dishonorably discharged.
I don't know if it was dishonorable or not, but you know, they were
discharged. It had to be honorably discharged.
More than likely. Yeah. I mean, they were basically fired because they would not, or to them, they were quitting.
So did you,
because they wouldn't get it
as a Trump supporter. Did you like how he was handling it?
I think he doesn't get enough credit from the fact that there was we can get into it. All right. So,
I mean, I don't have to go into the election.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the election, but so like at the very beginning, he was trying to tell, like, shut down people from other countries coming to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was trying to do that immediately. And then later on, the Democrats say, well, he didn't shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you guys were the ones calling him a racist because he was trying to shut it down early on and trying to block that. The mm-hmm. Like, which one do you want? Do you want him to shut it down? Do you not want him to shut it down? Mm-hmm. So that, I think that that was essential,
mm-hmm.
was that that be shut down. It didn't get done fast enough.
But you couldn't. And Bobby, remember I took a good chunk of our population was visiting a home country.
Right. And to be honest with you, they probably should have set up some sort of quarantine camp for when they came back.
Right.
You know, just to see until we had all the proper testing or, you know, whatever the thing was at the time. Like, even you probably should have been held in quarantine somewhere coming back from another country.
Right. He already didn't have a case until like four years.
But COVID was already here by then.
Yeah.
So it really didn't matter too much, because even if they had done all that, it still would have spread because there was already COVID here.
Right.
So I think he did the best job he could have done with the information that he had at first.
Right.
Further down, I feel like he was trying to open things back up.
Mm. But telling people to drink bleach is not.
He did not tell people to drink.
Come on.
Trey.
What was the shot?
Did he tell him that as a joke? Or?
It was something he said that, you know, we know not supposed to do. Put something in your veins. I forget the
stuff. Yeah, it was bleach.
Yeah. It was something else, though. It was something that was the horse. It was not the horse tranquilizer. I forget.
Oh, ivermectin?
Yeah.
I took ivermectin when I had COVID.
Did you, I guess you're okay now?
Yeah, I mean, it took one day.
He seems fine.
I was fine.
No, he's really going to turn into a zombie, like Walking Dead.
Well, just for the record.
His eyes here in a little while.
Just for the record, after the Biden administration was talking about how that was the worst thing ever.
What?
Ivermectin. Okay. Now they recommend it.
Yeah.
What is it?
Joe Rogan even recommends.
It's cattle dewormer. Dewormer.
Dewormer. Yeah.
Is what they use it for.
I think.
Why would I put that in my body though?
Jeremy, didn't Joe Rogan promote that too?
I don't remember.
I think he probably did. I remember interviewing him saying something about it. Yeah.
I think that there was a lot of things that he did right,
uh-huh.
and of course there were things that he did wrong.
Right.
You know that.
As a leader, if you're the president, how would Jeremy deal with, like, I mean, go from day before. And the reason I ask people to do this is because I'll give him a pass on this.
Yeah.
Because, and I told people this, I said, it's unfair we didn't get to see everything in his presidency because we got a halftime in it.
I mean, it wasn't even a halftime. It was just a point blank, just
up.
Fumble. I mean, the economy fumbled.
Mm.
You know, everybody was, losing jobs the whole night. Like, it was a fumble.
Mm.
And to be honest with you, that's what kind of sucks about his first presidency time, is because mm-hmm. so much of everything that he had done was judged by that time period where all the jobs were lost and people, you know, they weren't needing to get daycare. So, you know, one parent's quitting a job, so they're going down to one income families, and it looks bad job wise and all these other things, but really it's kind of a wash at the mm-hmm. time. So, but as far as the way I would handle it, I have no idea. I mean, I honestly couldn't even begin, because I don't know what resources they have. I don't know anything. And I probably would have handled it the same that he did. I'd be like, okay, so this is coming from out of country. Shut down out of country travel.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming from China. China's to blame. This is coming from, you know, just, I mean, honestly, like, that's, to me, it almost seems like he was, what do they call it? Off the hip shooting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, here's what I'm seeing. This is the, you know, just off the cuff, bam, done.
Dustin, how would you? You the world leader, you're the president. We voted you in. How would you handle COVID?
Well, I want to answer the question, the original questions first.
Okay.
All right. So I'll start with Jeremy. I agree with him on, I think Trump handled it as good as he could have
uh-huh.
at the time. I think he did it as good.
Could have did better.
As good as he could. Yeah, I think he could have did better, but he did it as good as he could
uh-huh.
at the time. Now, I'm also way more distrusting of the government since COVID happened, because I think, if, like I had said before, how I started putting everything together of how it originated, I think that they knew about it beforehand because they knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they actually knew what it was because of Event 201, and they were like, holy crap, how are we going to control? They actually did it. They actually released this out that we had already talked about, and we already kind of know what's how it's going to devastate everybody. Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't have done that.
We've never seen this before as far as real life, how we're going to handle it. So, and then whenever we start looking at the vaccines and the Bill Gates deal where he's invested all this money in vaccines, he owns these vaccine companies and they're pushing vaccines so hard and it's going to make Bill Gates more money and all this other stuff. Then we start looking at the regulations, like Jeremy was talking about, how they're wanting to implement these things. Try and get home at a certain time. You guys can't spend, you know, holidays with your family members and all this other stuff. That's when I agree with him. Like, I started bucking the system a little bit more, and I was more angry.
Right.
Yeah. Anything, because I'm like, they completely did not care about their citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, at first, I'm like, okay, maybe it wasn't America in on it or any of these other countries in on it, because I didn't know about Event 201 at the time. I was like, maybe it was just China, because China's like, okay, how can we destroy someone else's economy in the worst possible way by absolutely destroying the population over the entire world with this disease that we created in this lab and we've released it. And I was like, yeah, obviously they don't care about people because of what they do with their own people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, if I had been the president, one way I would have handled it differently was, yeah, I kind of agree with Jeremy on the citizens that we did have that we were trying to get back into our country. I would have tried to contain them a little bit more, just to watch them and see how they were. And if they had been sick, we would try to give them help and everything. But after a certain amount of time, if you were good, we would let you go home,
mm-hmm.
not deny you access to your home country.
Right.
I don't believe that. Yeah, tried to control the border a little bit more. But overall, everything else, I think that he did the best that he could with the knowledge that he had. And at the time, everybody didn't have a reason to not trust Dr.
Right.
Fauci. I mean,
yeah, like I said, I was trusting at first.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he still did. I think Fauci did as good a job as he could early on. Yeah, if you give Trump a break,
I think early on, well, I do in the beginning. Yeah.
In the beginning, yes.
In the beginning, I do give Fauci a break.
So what happened at the end?
Later on,
Fauci said something.
I believe Fauci started changing certain things. I think it came to a point where Fauci didn't know what he was talking about. Instead of just admitting that and saying, I really don't know what to do, he's just making it up as it goes along.
Mm.
And that's kind of what I don't like about that. If you don't know what to do, just say it and let somebody else step in.
Am I wrong to say that he was also part owner of this Wuhan lab?
He said he wasn't. He denied it. That Congress.
Does that make it truth though?
How can we really say if I'm telling you, once again, when it comes to these meetings, if they asking me on the Senate committee hearing, do I do something? I say no, and there's no evidence of me having any ties to it or whatever, then why would we still say that?
I denied that I wasn't cheering Ole Miss yesterday either, but I was. So.
But you didn't deny. You just said you was. You did. You
just said. Well, I'm just saying. I denied. If Jeremy had asked me, hey, did you want Georgia to win yesterday? Sure, I did. That's the same thing.
He would know that you. Jeremy knows you enough to.
I would never ask that.
Just saying.
You would know though.
Right? You get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying I would never ask that.
Look how fast the truth got out. So you already know Dustin is not making it.
I'm trying to prove a point. Is what I'm trying to do.
Okay, so I answer the question myself. I would have done anything. I am a firm. And see, I think most people think that I'm when I kind of pushed the note on Trump and stuff. The only thing I would have not done. That I think that he did, that until this day, I can't stand. You're not getting no stimulus checks from me. You're not. And I'm not closing down no borders. I may do a containment thing because I like that, Jeremy, just if I want to show that I care about folks. But I honestly believe if we say, hey, these are I wouldn't call them regulations, recommendations.
Yeah.
And I say, this is what you can do. Y'all American people, be free. And if you don't want to listen to any of these things, have at it. I'm not having any major events. You know what I mean? At the White House, you reporters, y'all can be on the line. I'm gonna be up that little balcony thing. I'm taking reports from up here. You know, throw your questions up here. Don't even throw them. Just like have a sign and raise your question up so I can read it. And I believe in situations like this. And now this is me post COVID. If people want to die, let them die.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe you don't help people out. If we're going to be free market, you cannot help people out. I am all about the money. I do believe in helping folks. I do believe in, you know, programs like welfare. I think they need some regulations. I think we create jobs around it. I have a theory on that I can explain. I'll probably talk about it later. But I'm sitting here like, We don't have jobs. We're not working.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
I would have definitely preferred not to do the stimulus checks because we're paying for it and we're going to continue to pay for it
for the next 10
like,
years.
We're going to pay back so much money than we received or the American people received. Like each citizen is going to pay back. I can't remember what the statistic was, but like four times.
I didn't get a dollar.
That's crazy. But I think they're going to pay back like four times the money that they got, you know, and it's like, I would rather just not get the money, but I was fortunate enough to not need it.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people weren't like that.
And I feel bad.
So, you know, because you had your restaurants and everybody that was shut down. But I will tell you, this podcast is out of Georgia, if you didn't know that. And our governor was the first, even though Ron DeSantis puts out the, and I, you know, he puts out the disinformation that he was first. He was not. Governor Kemp was the first governor to say, we're opening back up.
Yeah.
And him and Trump ended up in a whole tiff about it. Oh, yeah.
They still don't like each other.
Because of that, like, that was a falling out for the two of them because Trump didn't agree with it. And Governor Kemp, you know, say what you want about Georgia's governor, but
he's a Jeever. I like him.
That was literally one of the things that I was like, dude, thank you.
I love
to get back to work.
I loved Governor Kemp's videos when he was running for
Governor. I didn't like those videos.
Those are hilarious.
See, that's what I do. Like.
I got big guns.
I didn't like none of those videos.
I'm Brian Kemp. I drive big trucks.
I'm gonna tell you, I hated Governor Kemp's videos. Cause I'm like, this is what I always look at, and maybe I'm too racist. Maybe I need prayer for this. But I'm like, a black man can never do that. I could never get on TV with a gun with a kid. I'm like, I get it. I like the point because I got a daughter. I understand. I've been.
You just have to hold the gun sideways. That's.
Jeremy, don't do that, Jeremy.
Jeremy, don't do that.
Somebody's gonna listen to this. Jeremy, you're gonna get a whole email about. But no. That'd make it even worse, right? I'm trying to win Georgia. I got to be country a little bit.
I was going to say a minute ago, that was the benefit of you going last because you got to hear some of the stuff that we had said because you agreed with what me and him said in
a little bit.
Yeah, and a little bit of it when we said those are recommendations. We were totally in agreement on, I would recommend that, but I wouldn't try and pass it and say
no regulation.
No.
No regulations. We agreed in recommendation.
Listen to what I'm saying. I'm willing to let people die.
Yeah,
I want to make exactly and because I'm saying I don't believe the government should regulate vaccines instead of saying like you have to have one. I think everything the government should do is say, hey, this is for the safety of our people. Now, if you feel like, for instance, there are some communities that's predominantly 65 and up. Now they could say. In their community, that county, whatever area, that if you want to shop at our grocery store, like if you go to a Sun City or one of those elderly communities, like they run the city, they can say, like Hilton Head, they can say, you can't come to Island without, because we're old and it's killing us. I respect that because they can, as a group, if they voted or however they get the information.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier is that I don't have to support those concerts that require it, the doctor's practices that were requiring it, all those places. I don't have to support them. Because there's somebody else that's not requiring it.
Right.
So if you want to run your business like that, that's great. Right. Enjoy running your business because I'm not going to be part of it.
Right.
So, but, you know, we're all in total agreement, which I love the fact that it's like, okay, recommendations. I recommend you get a vaccine. I recommend you wear a mask. I recommend you don't go out after 9. I recommend you pull your mask up between each bite of your food. You know, I don't know. Like, whatever that recommendation is, do the recommendation, but let people live free because that's the whole point.
And I would say this, even like it's your family. If you want to kill your whole family, and I'm using that loosely here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, go ahead and
loosely. Yeah. No, but like if you want to, if the government is saying recommending that you shouldn't spend Thanksgiving together, and y'all get together, and you lose half of your family. To me personally, I don't want to hear that the government should have did more. I would say you didn't listen. Yep. And so I think, me personally, and the reason I wanted to go last, because I'm telling, and I know people needed those stimulus checks, but I also know people who quit their jobs because they was making $900 a week and they was making $1,200 every 2 weeks.
See, that was where,
it was no regulation on it.
That was part of the thing. So the stimmy checks, whatever.
Yeah.
But the unemployment, that was ridiculous. Like the amount of money that they were giving for unemployment was crazy.
Right.
And then the length of time, crazy.
But that goes back to us saying, and that's why I wouldn't do it. Because, well, it's a couple of things we can look at economically here is on average, the American, our consumer index for our country is 6%-ish, sometimes it goes up to 6.5 during Christmas, maybe 7 on a good Christmas, you know, year. But they send it up to 8 or 9%. We can't maintain that.
No.
Because that means you're telling your citizens, or you're telling your economy, we can do this now. And then when you throw in, now that we know there's companies that was price gouging and stuff like that, it wasn't, and this is one of those reasons I said I don't like free market, because it's really no honesty nor integrity in it. And granted, you can't really have that if we're trying to talk about, you know, free market.
Right.
But it's like when you give people, and honestly, you didn't give it to the middle class. You know, half of the middle class may have got it. It went to poor people. And yeah, rightfully so, because they're more so your service workers. That's not essential. And what did they do? And I'm not saying everybody, I'm making a sweeping generalization here, people, so relax. is they blew it. Well, if you would have gave that to us, it would have, and if you got one, then good, because I guarantee you used it, what it was the purpose of it using it for. If I would have got one, that's just extra money in my pocket at this particular point. So you know what I'm going to do? Probably going to buy a new TV. You know what I'm probably going to do? I'm putting that money back into the economy.
Yeah.
I'm going to maybe split a little bit of it, try to invest in some stock, put it back into the economy. I'm not buying a new car. I'm not getting a loan from the car, because I know that's not my money. It'll be like I don't make this. And I think, that's why I said shame on the car industry for doing that, because then they was knowing that these people didn't have the long stability of the jobs to insure these loans. It made a bubble within the car market, causing our car, like my car right now is crazy upside down, which I'm fine with, because unless God decided to let a deer hit me, I'm going to ride that thing out with the payments. And you're seeing, like, watch this, because of the workforce change, our property taxes here in Georgia, look what they're doing out here in East County. They build it like crazy. Why? Because them Californians came out here and ran the price up on us, and we don't make as much money as they do as far as cost of living. So we're forced, watch this, it inflated our market of sorts, highly, and now we got people here that can't afford housing. I don't like anything I saw when it comes down to economics with COVID, period. Because that's not what you do in a free market. Now, if we was a socialistic society, you can do whatever you want to do, obviously. China, I don't think China had no issues. They can control everything.
It's really interesting you say that, because, you know, we live out here in the country, and it's like you drive around and you see these city-style houses everywhere now. And it's like, wow, like this is just not...
It's not what it used to be.
It's weird.
I used to come out here and be like, man, farmland, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Farmhouses, and I mean, just, you know, your Cape Cods, your, you know, all those kind of houses.
Different type of houses.
Yeah, and now it's like you got the white with the black trim. And then the
Craftsman style.
Yeah, you got the modular, or no, not modular. What do they call it? I don't even remember. Whatever the city
modern,
style.
Modern. They're doing modern style
houses now. It's crazy.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to put y'all on the spot here for a second about.
I'm never put on the spot.
I'm on the spot here. Because of COVID. I'll answer it first. As far as the guy in Wuhan who leaked out, the doctor in Wuhan who leaked out the very first video saying, everybody prepare, this is coming, and then he ends up and he dies. Me personally, I believe they gave that man a lethal dose.
I think they killed him. I don't even have to give it a lethal
dose. Yeah, I think they killed him, obviously, but they said he died from COVID. That's what they said.
Yeah.
He died from COVID.
I could die, right?
If he died from COVID, I think they gave him a lethal dose of COVID.
No, I think he died. They said COVID, but they killed him with something.
Oh, yeah, I think they killed him.
They probably sent a guy. He probably died from, like, blood trauma to the throat or something.
I think there's been a lot of people killed over this, to be honest with you. So, again.
Like, not die from the disease, the virus, but, like, for trying to whistleblow or whatever the case.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Whistleblowing the whole nine. I mean, there's so many different twists and turns from this. It's a...
One day
the files will come out, like we were talking about,
like 90 years.
Well, I don't know, man, because the file still ain't came out about JFK's death.
We're gonna find out in January.
I hope so.
Maybe
he's not releasing the files.
Maybe
if it were up to him, he would release the files. And who knows? Maybe Robert will say, "Yes, I want those files released."
Well, I need the Epstein tapes too. Then
yeah,
yes, be good, please. And let's go ahead and get the...
Undoctor it. Give me the Clinton stuff. I want all of it.
Let's get the Diddy tapes, too, while we're at it.
I don't want to see those tapes.
Oh, gosh.
I don't want to see the tapes. I want the list. Give me the list, not the tapes.
I would like to see the Epstein list, for real.
We know the Epstein list.
I'd like to see the real
list. We know the Epstein list. We don't know durations and stuff like that. We know that the Clintons went. We know Trump went. We know... the dude from England went, the prime minister from England. We know there was a problem in the people there. I mean, when you went to the Epstein Island, your party or country didn't matter. We know that these celebrity billionaire type governor folks were there. Now, what we don't know in detail enough, I think we know more about what happened at Diddy's parties than we do know what happened at Epstein Island.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's like interesting because Diddy ain't dead. So obviously his party wasn't as exclusive as Epstein. But Epstein, as we know, and not trying to get on that.
Diddy ain't committed suicide just yet.
Right. Because nobody there was their prominence.
Maybe. You didn't have your politicians.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it was more of just celebrities.
Yeah.
The celebrities don't kill people as much as the politicians do.
But now, still on the COVID thing, do you think the powers that be here in the United States knew about COVID before it actually leaked out, before China actually released it onto its people, and then it spread?
Like, do I think that they knew that it was coming? Like, did they release?
You think they knew what it was?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm gonna tell you why. We share information on this stuff. I know for a fact that the CDC shares has an NIH and FDA. They share information with other science. Like, so you okay? Take off the name. Like take off the CDC. Take off FEMA. Take off the government name. These scientists are friends. They just live in different countries.
Yeah.
So it would be equivalent if I decided to move to Australia. Like, I'm tired of America, moving to Australia, right? We're still friends, and I'm going to share you, hey, I'm hearing this in Australia. Are y'all hearing this in America? Now we're just sharing information. Or, hey, is this parenting technique or this dating technique? I'm going to share it with y'all. Like, they doing this in Australia. I think this would be beneficial in America. I don't know why we're not doing it. These scientists, you got to remember, they go to school together, some of them. They go to the same universities, and they start sharing data. Why? Because you may have, like, let's say if I'm studying COVID, you may be making an advancement, but you need my knowledge on neuroscience splitter or something like that. Well, you don't have that, so you'll call me and say, hey, I'm making these crazy advancements in this virus, this respiratory virus named COVID. I think I can develop a cure, and we never have it, but I need your help with this neuro. And you might say, oh, yeah. And then you'll get my information, go through and say, oh, yeah, you just need to do this. So we know. Like, they're not, it's not like, you know, the 60s, where it was the 40s, when they was talking about the nuclear bomb got shared, and they were trying to figure out, and they were persecuting spies. It's not like that. It's like they want to share the information because they want to stay, these scientists want to stop diseases. They want to stop heart disease. They want to stop cancer. You should see their passion. I appreciate them. The problem is, it's still science. It's like, you know, testing a gun out. This gun curves a little bit. This gun does this. This, I got to do this with this way. I got to, when you get this gun, it does this. When you get this gun, it does. So it's all tests. The problem I feel like in COVID was, to the government powers that be, I think they probably got wind of a little, like the government, not necessarily the individual scientists, government, the powers to be, use your phrase, was probably looking like, what lab could we leak this from? That if we were to do this, it would be too confusing to understand. It's so easy. What country is the most confusing of all of us to understand? China.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to push back on your scientists really want to, they really want to combat these diseases and cure these things, because I think the first thing that they're taught in pharmaceutical school is there's no cure for cancer. I mean, there's no money for a cure.
Well, science,
there's no money to be made in a cure.
Science and pharmaceuticals are different. They're still scientists. Don't get it wrong, but they're different types. So you do have the scientists who are like, I don't know the scientific words for them. Like, they study bacteria, they study viruses. They don't have nothing to do with pharmaceuticals. Now, you may be a pharmaceutical scientist and say, oh, I have a drug that can stop that. And you may give it to me so I can test it. And I might say, yeah, but these are the side effects. And I'm just going to give you the information. Scientists, that's the crazy thing. They're not thinking. And this is me talking to them. They don't think like we think as far as when it comes down to the work. Like, when Jeremy shows us technology, I be trying to follow them. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're like, I get it a little bit. But Jeremy understands the zeros and ones better than I do. And that's how they look at it. Like, when I talk to them and I have to do stuff for them, they don't understand nothing I'm saying because I understand the rules and regulations. They don't. They don't care about it. They literally, I have gotten in trouble because they've contested me from trying to stay within the financial rules and regulations that I'm supposed to stay in. And I'm like, you're stopping me from saving the world. I'm like, I don't think this one contract is going to do that. But I mean, it may be the step in the right direction. Now, if you're saying Big Pharma doesn't have an interest invested in, absolutely. I don't want anybody to get healed because it doesn't make me money.
Right.
But the scientists may, and this is why I tend to think, and this is my belief, is the scientists have found cures for different diseases and stuff. And I think we all have a price. And if you, or watch this, my research can be bought. Mm-hmm. So if I'm working for a university, which most of these scientists do, I work for UCLA, I work for maybe Georgia, I work for Tennessee. And you come to my dean or director and say, all the stuff he's been working on, I'll give you, I'll build you out a new, I add to the football stadium if I do this, and here's $200 million. They're gonna take all. They're gonna come. I'm gonna come to work one day, and all my notes and stuff be gone. And I'm like, hey, where's my stuff? Oh, it got bought by them, so it's theirs now. And you see scientists go crazy over that because they don't, because they data rights is to the university, and the university decides to sell it because you got too close to the sun, Icarus.
Yeah.
So they do that, and that's why I always say, hey, you got to put some regulations with some integrity in it.
Yeah. It's, to me, it's just kind of frustrating, you know, the whole thing that just kind of unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, we haven't even touched on it, but the outcome of COVID, so I'm going to throw it down real quick, what my takeaway is from COVID.
Maybe we'll go around the room?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, number one, and I'm probably going to take all of y'all's because I think if America's not on the same page,
mm-hmm.
we have a problem.
Okay.
Number one, mental health. And this was another thing that kind of got me with the 6 months in thing, is it felt like they were trying to keep us separated. Human contact. It was, again, it felt more like a science experiment of how will people act being confined. Mental health, I think, took a huge nosedive or huge uptick. I think that people's mental states took a nosedive.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, from, you know, not having that human contact, the human interaction for so long. I mean, I think, am I wrong to say that it was probably almost 2 years before it kind of felt almost normal-ish? And it's still not normal. I mean, there's a lot of times that I even forget about COVID at this point, like that part of life happened.
Yeah.
But it's still always there. But I think it took at least 2 years to almost kind of get back into it. So COVID happens in March of 2020. Schools don't really open back up. Like in Georgia, again, is a little different. I think most schools were back probably by October, November of that year. That's a long time. And some states didn't go back till the following school year. Like mm-hmm. they spent an entire school year out. So a school year and a half out. So the mental health side of things, huge, huge issue. I don't know that our generation will ever recover from it. Our kids, I don't know if they'll ever recover from it. And, you know, depending on what kind of traits they picked up during that time, they may pass that down to their kids. You know, you got to start working on some generational curse stuff here. You know, from all of that. So you've got that. You've got inflation. Still going through that. Huge. I mean, that was huge. The fact that, let's call a Tahoe, went from costing $40,000 for a decked out Tahoe to now it costs $80,000.
Depending on your trim, for sure.
I'd say decked out.
Yeah.
Okay, like, you know, back in 2019, you could get a decked out one for $40,000-$50,000. Right?
Jesus, I need to go.
Now they're, you know, 80, 90.
Strong.
80, 90 for, you know, the premiere or whatever they call it. But
people are still making the same wages that they were then.
I see some of these people driving these cars. I'm like, how do they do it? You know, I'm like, wow.
I'd be signaling with no kids.
That's cool.
That's why I'm the reason I'm trying to get a deer to hit mine. I thought it was good. And I was like, you know what? This is stupid. Why am I affording this for?
Oh, man. So you have that, the inflation side of things. You've got, God, I swear, if I hear that word supply chain, like that has become such a dagger word to me, just from my business and everything, plus just trying to buy something. You know, I was doing this basement during COVID, so I probably overspent just a huge amount of money just based on material.
Yep.
Just really frustrating. So there was like all kinds of stuff with that. So you had the supply chain, you've got the inflation, you've got mental health, and I don't, just overall outlook. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and this could go into the mental health side of things too, but I feel like as human beings, we took a huge step back during that time. And I don't know that we've recovered from that at this point. I don't think we have personally. I don't know that we will. But just it feels like people just don't care about each other the same way that we did. Like we went from not caring about each other, we went to caring about each other, and then it almost feels like we don't care about each other again, you know, to the fact of just human decency feels pretty indecent at this point for a lot. It's just weird. Distraction, and maybe that was from being alone. I don't know. It's just weird to me. It feels like we took a huge step back in the human race. I don't know if that's like that across countries or if it's just here. Do you guys know?
No, I mean, I feel like it's starting to bend a little bit more into the direction of people are starting to care about each other again. But I do agree with you. It was at one point where we almost unified and we loved each other a lot more. And then we got a divide and it didn't, like, people stopped and people were more in each other's throats and in disagreements on everything. And now I feel like people are starting to care about each other again more.
Do y'all agree with my list or disagree?
No, I agree.
I agree with it honestly. I think I can't disagree with anything the list was.
Okay, do you have anything else that I'm missing?
You said mental health, you said economics,
mm-hmm.
you said human decency.
Just human decency.
Sociology of sorts.
Yeah.
And what was, you said one more though, didn't you?
I think so, but no.
Yeah, now I'm blanking too. I'm like, you said them.
I gave it everything I had right. just now. it's out.
If I had, I would say, just to push back Destin a little bit, I don't think that we're getting closer. And I think because COVID did do something to us.
Yeah.
We didn't get the help that we needed, as far as not saying stimmy checks or anything like that. But I think America should have regulated this. Hey, all y'all who just been in this little weird blip year, for lack of better, for my Avenger folks, my Marvel folks, y'all have to go to some counselor once a week. We're gonna pay for it. You pick the counselor.
Yeah.
We'll flip the bill for it. We got, you know, because they got the money to do this. And we'll make sure that your health insurance, that we're already paying into that, right? You're even paying for health insurance. We're going to make sure that every health regulate them and say, y'all have to provide this for them for at least 5 years, because they're not well mentally.
Yeah.
And to your point, I think the generations that had to miss that at school, they mental health for them, suicide and all that, it's still high. The divorce rate, people forget, the divorce rate during COVID was high as crap. People found out they didn't like each other.
Yeah.
And then instead of learning how to deal with it, that's tough to sit in the house, like you said, to sit in the house with somebody.
You got nobody to vent to.
And then people don't realize this too. That, you don't remember, that's when George Floyd happened. That's when all these other cop shootings happened. So people were literally just stuck with the world's problems and was not for a moment able to, you know, for lack of party them away, go crazy a little bit or get away from your spouse. Like, you know, sometimes you go to work and you're like, ah, thank you. I don't have to hear their voice for the next couple of, you know, hours. And I can tell them about my day. I can now miss them because the absence makes the farmer harder. I just don't think we ever will regain that part of, I would say a part of that. Now, we had our issues prior to, don't get it twisted. But it's like you say, it was still like this, I see you as a human.
Yeah.
I think we're more divided because people were able to sit in their silos and whatever narrative that your silo produces was emboldened and it was made even worse. So, like, say, for instance, for me, if I heard, luckily I'm just more aware, I heard a lot of people saying, because this joy of Floyd is a high level, you won't believe how many friends I got in an argument with. I had a friend who was a police officer, and they got in an argument so bad. Mind you, they both at home. He's a police officer, so he had to go to work, and he's like, look, this is not, I'm telling, and they argued, they didn't talk for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, I think it was just the stress of COVID. Because as soon as COVID is over and we kind of got back talking, I said, hey, y'all, we going out. And they start back talking. Like, they was able to squash it because they can get out the house. It was easier to squash beef. But then when you sit in your silo all day and you're watching Fox News, you're watching CNN, and that's all you're doing, you're gonna get a propaganda message. You're going to get something, and then you're going to become something different. Fear, hatred are going to develop more out of these things, especially if you're watching media. That's what they push. They sell that. And then, not to mention, if you go to your church and they push in the same similar messages, right? You're not getting diversity. You're not going to the workspace where somebody different from you and hearing what them is like, okay, huh, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think we get it back. I think unless aliens come, I don't know how we get it back. Like, I don't know if we ever get that. I think it's like a piece of us is missing.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say.
What about you? Was there anything that was left off the list of?
No, I think that since COVID, I would say, since, you know, how I said I became more distrusting of the government, and I think that's really what has driven a wedge in between us as society as well. I think a lot of people felt that. And I think a lot of people became way more distrusting of the government because I feel like the government showed their hands, so to speak, in this whole thing, because I think a lot of people believe they knew about it or they were involved in it, and it was some kind of a big, I don't know if you want to call it a scheme or if you want to call it a a what you want to call it, but a lot of people died and they knew about it and covered it up, so to speak, in a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like 9/11. You don't discount the fact that people died. You don't discount the fact that those things happen. It's just why? Why is it?
That's why I said when it comes to COVID and 9/11, you can throw some comparisons in there and kind of see where there are some comparisons, so to speak.
Right.
And yeah, I think that they knew. I think that they were involved. And that's just my opinion. I have nothing to back it up. It's just my opinion.
So is there any, I'm not going to say, well, is there any hopeful out, like anything you've seen that kind of makes you hopeful that there's like a little piece that sends us back to 2019? Because, I mean, would you agree, Trey? Dustin said he agreed. Would you agree, Trey, that we as a society were doing a lot better in 2019 person to person?
Person to person in 2019.
Let's say you're in the grocery store and I don't know, you see somebody buying something that you love.
Right.
Okay. You know, the normal thing would be to go, oh, have you seen that movie? I love that movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just something stupid like that where you just strike up a conversation with somebody and it's not weird. It's just kind of like just one person just saying hi to another person.
But like panda, like oh, man, you like those, man? I like those, too.
We joke, we laugh. Exactly.
Right. I don't think we get back there.
But were we there in 2019, do you think?
I think it began, okay, and without getting too political, I think it began to fade with George W. Bush, and then with Barack became president. I thought that's when I started really seeing I thought similar to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago that we was done with certain issues.
Yeah. We'll
talk about that stuff later, but we're done with certain issues in America. I really thought we was progression, and I was hopeful, and I felt like it was nicer then. But then after Barack Obama got elected, I was kind of like, ugh. I don't think I was experiencing some stuff that I didn't really want to experience. Like, I don't know how we feel now. And then when Trump got elected, I was kind of like, well, I don't necessarily know how to feel. And I felt like people was kind of like getting back settled a little bit. So I felt like, okay, old America's in here somewhere, because it wasn't everybody. Everybody was kind of recognizing things. They were kind of like, yeah, we're just tired of it. I was like, okay, I did start to feel like not a sense of unity, but at least of common knowledge, like common ground. I don't feel that now. Like even now when I go to certain areas and I say, you know, I'm smiling all the time. I'm playful. I wave at people and they'll look at me as if I'm like, you know, Darth Vader.
An alien. Yeah.
Right. Like, where is Luke? You know what I mean? And so I don't know if I think we joke about this a lot, but I think it'd be beneficial if we have some kind of reset where people can see we're all people.
Yeah. We're just humans trying to make it in this world. I mean, there's no different from another. I mean, it's crazy to me that, I don't know, it just drove such a huge wedge in the human race.
Right.
And I don't know if it's like the, I mean, you're more, weird word, but countrified from like outside of the United States, you know, more than me, definitely, probably more than Dustin. But I mean, do you?
When I go to other countries, I don't feel it.
Yeah.
But like when I go to other countries and we hang out, we talk, it's laughter, is because like, once again, they don't deal with some of the issues that America has to deal with.
Right.
America's, the racial things will always kind of be there, but then like the it's also growing into a more social economic thing. A lot of these countries, these Caribbean countries I've visited, or even in Europe, like Italy is very fascist in sorts, right? But for the most part, they kind of like, they chill. Like, I kid you not, I had a massive sinus infection in Italy. And I called an Uber because I couldn't walk it anymore. I was like, I can't breathe, D. My body's hurting. I need to go lay down. Like, I couldn't breathe. Like, when I blow my nose, blood was coming out. That's how bad this sinus infection was. And I said, hey, Uber guy said, look, I have to find a pharmacy. I need medicine. I ran out. This is my situation. Take me to a pharmacy where I can just shoot some stuff up my nose so I can unblock it. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Go to the pharmacy. The guy takes me. Now, no, this is an Uber. He's supposed to take me straight to the hotel. And he takes me, he said, no problem. Take me to the pharmacy. I said, I need something to get this down. I don't know what they put in their medicine, but I put that thing up in there and it just came out. I was like, oh, this is different medicine than we got. And I still got it. I can't read nothing on the box, but I'm like, I'm taking it. And then I said, hey, I don't have any cash. No, I don't have any cash. Or at least, you know, I don't have the cash. You know, I forgot what they use. I think it's Euro. I think it's a Euro. And I said, can I stop by a bank and pay you? No, 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 no. I said, what do you mean? You just stop your route so I can get some medicine. I cannot. I said, it would be, you know how I am from the South. You know, I said, where I come from, we don't do stuff like that. We take care of our people. No, 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 no. And so he was like, I was like, well, how about, can I just give you like $5 in euros? He's like, no. And I said, hey, can you stop? So I saw an ATM. I said, hey, stop. So he said, what? And I got out of the car real fast. And D was in the car, so obviously he can't leave me. And I went and got him 20 euros. And I gave it to him. He said, why? Why? And like he was mesmerized like this. And I said, well, this is not how. He said, because in their country, they're taught, get enough to live happy. And he said, so you giving me 20, he said, it was the right thing to do to take you. That's why I did it. And it broke my heart because that's not America anymore.
Right. Yeah. And it used to be.
And in certain parts, it used to be.
In New York,
I don't think in New York they ever like that. Apparently,
you know, I don't apparently. Even consider.
And I'm not political. You know, they say how rude New Yorkers are. And,
yeah, that's a true story. Okay, right. I visited there in the 90s. Okay, at least. It was like that.
They have
too,
a good so. Pizza. New York has a good pizza.
So, to your point, I go to other countries, and that sense of countryman pride we don't have anymore.
Yeah,
and that's the part about America that I do miss. Because after, like, we talked about this, like the 9/11 episode. That Tuesday was amazing. Mm-hmm. That Tuesday night, that was the first time in my life I felt like I belonged to this country.
And we haven't had that with COVID.
No.
We didn't have a day like that.
Even though we're losing millions of people.
I don't feel like we've had a day like that since then.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's just every time something happens, we get divided instead of united.
There you go.
And it's crazy.
Bingo.
Just absolutely crazy. I mean, you can't have an opinion anymore. If you have an opinion that differs from somebody else, and I'm not talking about us.
Yeah.
You know, like this room is like a safe space. Because
that's why they're
gonna have a differing opinion and still love each other as a human being, because it's like, he's crazy, but you know,
it's
he's
an opinion.
Still a good guy.
To send this off on a bright note.
Uh-oh, Dustin, what a whoa. Bright note. What?
I will say
must be that weird color shirt he's got.
I will say hey, this is the color of winners, baby. I will say, even though we haven't had that day yet after COVID, and we are a country that's pretty divided, and we have been now for a long time, I do believe there is a great awakening that it's coming, and there is going to be reunion here.
In our lifetime?
Amongst our people. I don't know if it'll be in our lifetime.
I'm wondering if you're talking like just there will be... Or you feel like it could be soon? Because I
feel like it could be soon. Yes, I do think it could be soon. But I do believe it's coming, whether it's in our lifetime or not. I do believe it's coming.
We'll see how we all feel after the next episode as to whether that's coming or not. So.
Foreshadowing.
Is there?
I don't think that has anything to do with politically.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, you know, as long as we have big gov, big media, and everybody else, big tech, and all that, you know, their main source of life is to keep us divided.
Absolutely.
So until we as a people stand up and say enough is enough, that day you're talking about, that dust utopia that you're I love it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I want it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. People have got to stand up and say enough is enough.
Well,
and I'm not going to buy into this. Not going to buy into it.
Well, now here's one thing you can look at from COVID. Now, we said that there hasn't been a day like the day after 9/11. There hasn't been a 9/12 here with COVID, so to speak. What we did get out of COVID is we did say, yes, a lot of the people now distrust the government more. But through that, it opened their eyes more to see how much they are deceived. And I think that they did
But I mean, not
that.
Fully, because you're still going to have that divide. Because let me ask you a question. How many people do you see still wearing a mask in their car by themselves?
Not a lot.
Not as many as I did 4 years ago.
But you still see it, right?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Right. And how many people do you see still wearing a mask walking down the street by themselves?
My godson does it. He's different.
But I'm just saying, like, there's still going to be the people who believe that was 100% like what they have to, like, they told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And that's great. If you feel like that protects you, you have to do what's good for you.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, I would venture to guess those folks are not going to agree with you.
No.
And then they're not going to agree with me. They're not going to agree with Trey. So that's going to continue I mean, I'm going to say live your life.
Right.
You want to wear it? That's great. But if you say anything to me about not wearing it, I'm going to say something back.
Well, right. True. Now, so I'm saying there's going to come a day where I believe that people will come together more. Is everybody going to come together more? No.
No.
You're still going to have those people like you're talking about.
Right.
But I think you're going to see a huge gathering of people that do come together, and you are going to see a lot of people unite.
I hope so. I mean, I really
like
do.
I said, I can't tell you that it'll be in our lifetime, but I do believe it's going to happen.
Historically, I can say this just from, just because y'all know where I come from, is it can happen. Like, even in, I tell people all the time, I was joking with some of my friends the other day, because they were saying, you know, just, it was, we'll talk, you know, in the episodes to come, we'll probably talk about it. But they were saying stuff about, oh, what was black people? I was at the barbershop and got a 2-hour argument with somebody. So about America, believe
that's
it or
normal,
not.
Though, right?
Yeah, well, not that long. We normally like, all right,
oh, okay.
It might be 30 minutes about LeBron, oh, okay. Michael Jordan. Right. You know, like it's fun talks. If you ever,
I love a black barbershop. It's one of my favorite things.
If you have never been, you have to. It is therapy, especially they get an argument going. It is therapy.
I love it.
But nevertheless. And I had to say, hey, you have to remember that even when Harriet Tubman was trying to free slaves, it was slaves that was like, no, and it was people that was snitching on them.
It's the life they've always known.
Yeah. So it's you're never going to have, to Jeremy's point, you're never going to have 100% buy-in.
Right.
But like, also to your point, I personally think, if we're just talking about exclusively America, I think if one of the powers to be that call themselves our enemy really do buck the system and try us for real, I think that's when, now here's the hope. Is that we're not so far fragmented that when something happens, like let's say some group, let's say North Korea finally figure out how to launch a missile, and then
the rocket man,
don't taunt them, Trey.
And try your best, okay? And then they shoot one, and let's say it hits, let's say it randomly hits Maine, okay? Devastation in Maine. What I will hope is our American patriotism that lays dormant in most minorities wakes up, like. See, y'all need us now, right? And then the patriotism that's mostly shown in the white community goes crazy as it would. And we do this. And we say, we may not agree on issues, but you don't mess with us. Like family. You can talk about, I can talk about my wife, but you can't talk about my wife, right?
Yeah.
My hope is that, to your point, all of a sudden it blends back in like 9/11. Now, the problem with that, and I think what Jeremy is pointing out, and I think you may feel or see as well, is, what if we're so fragmented that hits Maine, and the first thing I know, which we may hear in the black community or maybe Asian community or it's minority communities, well, how many of us is up there? Because you can't tell me right now how many black people you know from Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to sit there and say, and I know people in my camp who say, that's not us.
So, well, you know, all it's going to take is then? All it's going to take if to what you're talking about. All it would take is one news organization to go, this is Trump's fault.
Oh, that's the game over.
And literally, and you know that they would, because again, to me, that's their game, is to keep us divided.
Or the other way, so, let's say Biden let it grow to this. Either way.
But all it would take is one news organization to say that, and you take what could have been everybody coming together, and boom, it is literally up. Done.
Yep. What about this then? If you're going to go on that route, what if that missile accidentally hits Chicago, to where there is a lot of African American population?
Okay, so
there?
I give you, watch this. This is like, to Jerry's point, you can move this needle in any direction.
You can.
But it's the first question, or at least I know from a lot of people, just a lot of people I talk to, is a lot of people always look for the response of white folks in other situations for like George Floyd. What are white people saying? And if that happened, the first thing black community is going to mourn, right? I think Americans are going to mourn.
They are.
But then this, all it takes is one person to say, well, the area it hit wasn't the prominent people we want anyway. And that's going to throw the match. That's all it's going to take. Now, I think us in this room, it's America. We don't give a flip who, what kind of people it was.
I think if a Korean missile were to launch and it hit Chicago, Illinois, I think the majority of Americans are going to say, we need to take revenge on them for that.
That's my hope.
And they would. And that right there would be enough to unite, like you said, the brotherhood back together. And it should be.
But unless
if it hits Maine, no.
It doesn't matter.
It's not.
It doesn't matter where it hits, because if one
media source
person says this was somebody's fault.
Well, yeah, if they say it's Trump's fault, then
they would do
maybe.
It. And you know they would do it. That's
They would. And that's just because
that is another subject for another day.
Yeah.
They would do that. That's just because that's their agenda. That's what they push.
Exactly.
But I don't think that would be enough.
to that's stop. That's being hopeful, and we're being negative.
I do not think. I do not think that.
How does it feel?
I do not think that that instance would be enough to not unite the American people.
That this, I just want you to know. I don't. Can you put claps on this? Because we're not even trying to persuade you to be positive.
Yeah.
And you're spreading us to be positive. Because watch this. I will, you know what? I'm going to hop on your bandwagon. I'm going to say it's going to unite us. That's the being positive.
I think it would.
I'm giving you get some claps, man. You get some claps. You get some claps from Trey. There we go.
Well, he's laughing at there,
oh, there we go. Laugh claps.
There's some claps. There we go.
So I always say, you know what? If devastation like that hit, we don't want it to happen, by the way.
I hope
North Korea stays North Korea, and with no help from nobody else. But if it were, I think, you know what? It's going to unite them.
I think it would.
Let's get it.
I think it would.
Why not?
I mean, I hope so. My concern is I just... And yeah, you can call me a pessimist, whatever you want to do.
Oh, we are going to call you.
It's fine. It's all good. But
how does it feel?
I know. That's okay. I'm good. I've learned from the best.
There you go. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm so okay. Another subject for another day.
Media.
We need to tackle the media.
There's a couple one day, of so. There's a couple that we've already done that we actually need to circle back around to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Such as media and such as the moon.
Yeah.
I can't face.
Yeah. Anyway. But anybody else have anything for COVID? I mean, there's a lot of stuff we didn't do, but yeah. Hey. We could always circle back.
COVID is big, but I think COVID is big. I appreciate the conversation, guys. It was really good.
It was
good.
Yeah, it's just I just hate it. I really do. I hate that had to happen during our generation has really experienced
everything
some
almost
crazy stuff.
Yeah,
you know, from terrorist attacks to pandemics, plandemics, whatever you want
to
call it.
Can you imagine trying to tell your great grandkids these stories? We like, hey, I lived here at one time. Let me give you a bedtime story about this one time. The world stopped for 4 years.
Well, see, y'all aren't as lucky as I am. At least my kids will remember this.
Yeah.
Because they were old enough, I mean, for the most part, to kind of go through it. And, oh, man.
But you can hit them with 9/11. You can hit them with COVID. You can hit them with the war in Iraq. You can hit them with... Bro, listen, we've been through a lot.
And we're still young.
Hurricanes, tsunamis, the tsunami that slowed the world down.
I would definitely say I'm probably over the hill at this point, but you know, we're still there. So it's
28 years old. What are you
talking about? Well, thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you next week. You know, don't forget to share and like us, and if you want to subscribe, that's great. You get a notification that we're putting a new one out. So don't forget about us.
Yep, keep coming back. Remember, truth's out there, truth between the lines.